In an earlier chapter of the Gospel of John, we read that John the Baptist comes as a witness to the light. And it is he, John, who in this passage draws our attention to the Lamb of God. So listen while I read from John 1, verses 29 to 44. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I told you about when I said, 'Someone else will come.' He is greater than I am because he was alive before I was born. I didn't know who he was. But I came to baptize you with water so that everyone in Israel would see him. I was there and I saw the Spirit come down on him like a dove from heaven. And the Spirit stayed on him. Before this, I didn't know who he was. But the one who sent me to baptize with water had told me, 'You will see the Spirit come down and stay on someone. Then you will know that he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen and I tell you that he is the Son of God." The next day John was there again and two of his followers were with him. When he saw Jesus walking by, he said, "Here is the Lamb of God." Jesus' two followers heard him and they went with Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them, he asked, "What do you want?" They answered, "Rabbi, where do you live?" The Hebrew word rabbi means teacher. Jesus replied, "Come and see." It was already about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him and saw where he lived. So they stayed with him for the rest of the day. One of the two men who had heard John and who'd gone with Jesus was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." The Hebrew word Messiah means the same as the Greek word Christ. Andrew brought his brother to Jesus, and when Jesus saw him, he said, "Simon, son of John, you will be called Cephas." This name can be translated as Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. There he met Philip, who was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Philip. Jesus said to Philip, "Come with me." In this we hear the gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God.
Late last year, I picked up our granddaughter Sophie from school. And in conversation as we were driving back to our home, I said, "Oh, well, now you'll be going into year five next year, won't you?" And she said, "Where does the time go?" And actually, we're almost halfway, we're about halfway through January already. Where does the time go? Actually, January is named after the Roman god Janus. Janus, meaning January. And Janus was the god of doorways, of passageways, of openings. It was depicted as having two faces, one facing that way and one facing that way, facing the what had been and what was to come. So maybe that popped into my mind as I started to read this text today about John and then Jesus. John representing the old order, if you like, the order that said to be on side with God, you needed to follow the rules. And if you hadn't been following the rules, then there's a chance to start again, leave the past behind and go forward, come and be baptized. And then there's Jesus, who said simply, "Follow me." And in this picture that we saw just now, I like that because John is in the background, up there, dressed in very simple clothes. He had a simple message: change your ways, repent. And that actually means in the Greek, consider turning around. Go in a different direction. Leave the past behind. It doesn't mean that you were a terribly bad, wicked, horrible person, but you were following the wrong way. So follow this new way. And as John saw Jesus, and by the way, Matthew points out that Jesus made his home in Capernaum, which is in Gentile territory, which I think is a very telling piece of gospel, that Jesus planted himself somewhere amongst those who were rejected. It's interesting that when Jesus was seen by John, he just simply said, "There is the Lamb of God." Now, I'm curious as to why these two decided to follow where Jesus was walking. Why would you do that? Unless they maybe had heard Jesus tell some of his stories before. Maybe they had seen him when he was welcoming children who in those days were non-people. Maybe they had been around when he had touched those who were rejected as those with leprosy. Who knows? But they decided to follow. And we're told that Jesus turned and said, what do you want? And I think if you were in that position where you had been following on and suddenly you ask, why are you there? You had to think pretty much on your feet and say, well, where are you staying? Where are you staying? Why did they want to know that? And by the way, have you thought about Jesus having a home? What sort of a home? I mean, he was the son of a carpenter. Did he make his own furniture? Or was there a Galilean equivalent of IKEA? What sort of a home did Jesus have? When he was crucified, he had no possessions except a seamless robe. So maybe he was in a rental accommodation. But whatever it was, he didn't really answer them. He didn't say, well, look, here's the address, put it down on your iPhone. He said, come and see. Now, that's a simple but very powerful invitation. Come and see. And I think right through the gospel, we could hear that come and see to what God was about in Jesus. Where was Jesus located most of the time? Amongst the great unwashed, if you like. He was located where people's needs were, and where he was located, there was the good news of love and acceptance. Look at those stories throughout the Gospels. And by the way, the Gospel in the text, in the New Testament, in the Greek Testament, it doesn't say the Gospel of, it just says kata mateion, according to Matthew, kata Ioannos, according to John. So there are different viewpoints. So the viewpoint we have today is about two who decided to follow. Now, why did Jesus leave the scene and go to Capernaum? I have a feeling there was a bit of the humanness there. John had just been baptized. Just been arrested. John had just been arrested. We know the rest of that story. He loses his head. But why did they want to know where Jesus was staying? And I have a theory. You know, there's a little bit of interest. Something they'd heard, maybe. Some word that meant they maybe could join this little group. Maybe they could be part of this little company of Jesus. Maybe they could have a part in this great mission that Jesus was establishing, a mission for the whole world, a mission of acceptance. And so maybe that's why they were curious enough to follow, to maybe rent a place somewhere near where Jesus was and maybe catch a glimpse of him going about his daily talking with people and accepting of people. Come and see. What a great invitation. Not come and sign on the dotted line because you believe in the virgin birth or you believe in the second coming or you believe in angels, but come and see what Jesus is about, where his mission, as it were, where the rubber hits the road, where his mission is about a community that's a community of acceptance, where no one is refused. Where is the Jesus of the 21st century? We're looking about a story a few thousand years old. So where is the Jesus of the 21st century? And what is the Jesus of the 21st century saying? Come and see. Come and join. Come and be part of the mission of acceptance to the world. Come and see.